This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 6th of December, 1961. The title of this lecture is Sec Checks Necessary. This tape is 90 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
How are you today?
Fine.
Like you're not surviving. Too bad. Matter of fact, you know, with one or two exceptions, which are usually exceptions, you're starting to put a glow up. You're putting a glow up. Even you. Okay. This is 6 Deck 61. And, two minds. I don't know whether to talk to you about security checking or talk to you about 3D running. And let's see, the people running security checks look worse, or the people running 3D look worse. I think it's definitely a security check day. Definitely. All right, I will give you the opening gun. It is stupid to try to assess somebody who has not been squared away on the basic and fundamentals included in Class 2. Item 2. It is stupid to try to get somebody to assess who has not passed the basic skills of Class 2. So the hill we're trying to climb is 3D, but to get the hill climbed, I'm afraid you're going to have to climb another hill first. I recall there's been troops in this situation at numerous periods of history. They get an order to scale the rampart. And they go ahead and valiantly try to execute this order, but it has been neglected. One little point has been neglected in the battle plan, and that is only this. They haven't taken the moat. And if you don't watch it, you have a lot of people drowning in the moat. Well, that's about what we look at here. Now, the penalty of your getting the latest and most is the fact that I can be absolutely counted on to do my level best for you. Unfortunately, that's a fact. I could give you a very nice, smooth curriculum that would carry forward a lot of very smooth routine things, and it would all be very smooth and very routine and awfully difficult. But the curriculum would be very smooth. Or you have the other choice. You get what is known at any instant of time as well as it is known at that moment of time, and you pursue it and use it. That, of course, has a tendency to keep your training much more up to date, but it also has a tendency to learn what you yourself don't know in order to achieve your objectives. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter how smoothly I lay out a curriculum. You're always going to find something else. And I've just given some of you a present time problem, I'm absolutely sure. And suddenly sliding Class 2 your way last week. But you pay the penalty for my being honest. Because I'll tell you what I don't know and be counted on for that. And it amounts to this. It amounts to this. Is emerging from the Stygian dark, vast whirlpools of chaos, which is what your reactive mind looked like a short time ago, is the fact that the more aberrated a person is, the more lonely one he is. He moves in toward clearing from the outer dark. He moves in from his lonely vigils on Cloud 69, where he has been keeping the watch for the last many trillion years against all comers, and on which post he learned, oh too well, never to take any orders. And then you step up with your E-meter and in effect give him an order. And he is so armor-plated that you get no response, of course. In the first place, the symptom of extreme aberration, and never make a mistake in this as an auditor, it is a symptom of extreme aberration. I don't care where you find it, and I don't care if I step on your toes in telling you so, is a total unwillingness to receive any help. Now you are fooled in that occasionally some person or some country will say to you, you must help me. And by not looking it over and seeing what they do with your help, you are fooled into thinking they wanted to be helped. They're using a sort of help as a trap. You must help me. And only then can I show you how stupid and ineffectual you are. That's help as a trap. Inja is in that state right now. If you were to try to assist Inja, you would be in fabulously deep swamps in no time. I was in Inja a year or two ago, and I was interested from a standpoint of the fact that several Scientologists have gone to India, and they've all fallen on their heads. Dear old Muriel, for instance. Now, she might have thought that she finally gave up the ghost and had to pick up another body, dear old Muriel. We'll be seeing her again one of these days. Because everybody was mean to her, but in actuality, she had nothing but disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment at the hands of the Indian government. She would go out there, and the Indian government promised her the sun, moon, and stars all on a silver platter until she tried to collect one tiny moonbeam, and it was untrappable. There was no way she could lay the moonbeam in her hand. They would keep promising her help, opening all the gates, and then it all just sort of... She was somehow suddenly wrong. Get the idea? You'll find that in insane asylums. You'll have patients come up to you, begging you, saying, oh, you must help me, you must help me, you must help me. And you walk into their cell and they hit you with the head of the stool. That's the modus operandi. Any possible method of getting a thetan to walk into a trap, of course, will be used by a very aberrated person. All right, now let's look over this view and let us see, did that person want to be helped or not? Let us see if that person didn't want to be helped. Actually, that person was using help for some other purpose and so forth. So that rather obscures the view. Now, you'll find a person on post somewhere in some large administrative activity. Take one of your large companies. And he's got to do every scrap of everything himself. The desk, you can't see over it, you know, because it's stacked up in all directions. He's emptying all the waste baskets, although there's somebody hired to empty waste baskets. He's sharpening all the pencils, and there's somebody else drawing pay to do that, don't you think? And if he makes a telephone call, why, it never goes through the switchboard, you see. It goes over some route. There was one company that I think is one of the most remarkable companies I ever heard of. It had 67 salesmen. And the boss and owner of the company was dealing in war surplus material, and this out in Los Angeles. And he was dealing with these vast square miles of bombers. And these vast, vast square miles he was selling off left and right. But he had 67 salesmen. And the fellow never came out of his office or talked to his sales force or anything. And these salesmen would just beat themselves until they were haggard and gray, selling off half a square mile of airplanes or something, you know. Only to find out that the boss had sold it last week and he hadn't told anybody. The only things ever sold by that company were sold by the boss. Not so he could get the commission, you see, but because he might get helped. You see, and he had to prove it conclusively that he must not be helped in any way, shape, or form. Now, you look over an organization that is running fairly smoothly. You're liable to find the head of the organization, although he's wearing lots of hats, actually able to breathe and everything else, because basically what's he do? He basically makes policy decisions or something like this, or draws a map and says, well, this is the way we're going to go, and that's it. And somebody comes around and asks him for a little help on something, or other way he gives it to him. And you never find him sharpening any pencils. You'd think he'd lived the life of Riley. You know, you'd think this would be the most lazy existence you ever heard of, you know. He never sharpens any pencils, never empties any waste baskets, doesn't make any of his own telephone calls, you get the idea. He can be helped. Well, frankly, although he's not in very much of a panic, a rather large activity can run, don't you think? Because he doesn't interfere with everybody around in doing their jobs, he can be helped, he'll help them. And although no organization on earth could help ever to run smoothly, don't think that it could, I don't, that's not in the cards. Not until we have dealt them, anyway. The fact of the matter is that it's a cooperative activity, some kind or another, and beingness is granted on both sides, and nobody's in a big games condition with anybody else, and everybody's willing to do his job, maybe do a little bit of the other fellow's too, but nevertheless, he's willing for the other fellow to do his job, and it all runs off smoothly. Well, when you're auditing PCs who can be helped, that's kind of the way it goes. That's sort of the way it goes. That's more or less the way it goes. A PC is somewhat cooperative, and you're cooperative with the PC. It doesn't have to go smoothly along this line, you know, but auditing can happen. Now, when you had this fellow out there in that lonely watchtower on the end of the Black Nebula, when you had that occur, this fellow cannot take any communication from you. He doesn't know you're alive. He stands outside the perimeter, not only of the human race, but all races. He's not in communication, and you're not going to make any effect on him. This is what he's going to make very sure of. He is highly suspicious. He's highly alert. His ability to be hurt is so enormous. His ability to be injured is so great, he thinks, that he has to protect himself with all sorts of barricades. And amongst those barricades is no help. You mustn't help me. Now, even though this individual is willing to be helped, we go to a higher range. Can he be communicated with, and can he communicate? Let's say he's willing to be helped. We overcome that barrier. And he's not using help as a trap to pull you in and knock you in the head and that sort of thing. The communication barrier is the next barrier that opens up. And that is the barrier by which you can talk to him and he can talk to you. Until that barrier is knocked apart, you will not find your meter effective. And it just comes down to one of these confoundedly simple operations. Is your meter effective on the PC? That's all. It is just this. Is the PC willing to talk to you? Now you can read a meter with a microscope on him. and your responses go in and out, because sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not there, and sometimes you're in communication with him and sometimes you're not in communication with him. That kind of a situation is a very bum one in which to do an assessment, because your assessment depends on the communication factor staying relatively the same during the assessment of an entire list. It depends on that factor being present and continuing to be present. Therefore, you have rudiments. Now, we take somebody who is not even vaguely in communication. We take that person, and we're going to assess him to discover something about him. Well, now, if there's very much left in the makeup of this person, to the effect that anything you find about him is going to be used against him, you know, that's one of the standard modus operandi by which he operates and always has operated, you see. Anything they find out about me, they will just use to shoot me down. You see, and you're trying to find the various parts of a 3D assessment. Why, good heavens, what are you going to wind up with? You're going to wind up with a total defense. He'll just bury everything if he's not in any kind of communication with him, right? So your first effort in clearing anyone is to get that person into communication. Not only willing to talk to you, but you effective to the degree that when you talk to him, it means a little something. It isn't that you must put him in a state whereby you can impress him or overwhelm him easily. This is how he interprets it. No, it must be so that when you speak to him, you're not talking to him through the cast iron armor plate of a reactive bank. In other words, something happens. He is there. He can be talked to. Now, that we can sort a person out at all is quite miraculous. Look at the order of magnitude of things. Don't say, well, we need bigger and better E-meters. No, you're not going to get bigger and better E-meters, because there's a limiting factor involved in all this E-meter thing. The solution was put to me once by a man of science. The only trouble with the men of science so far is they have not had any humanness about them, and so there's been no human science. But this chap gave me the rather extraordinary solution, which I thought was terribly amusing. This chap gave me this one solution, which he thought was fine, and that was to get a proper meter operation. You put the electrodes into the person's brain. And this was just such ordinary conversation that this was the best way to get the things taken out. Now you go much further than the E-meter, which we have, and one, you run into an exaggeration of body motion, and two, you run into the necessity to stick the electrodes and tie them onto the ends of the neurons or something, you know. And it's uncomfortable. Not so much for PC. We'll take the scientific attitude and we'll say, well, that's nothing. But think of the auditory. You'd have to put on rubber gloves and anesthetic mask and all that sort of thing, and audit in that kind of a costume. And you'd have to hit the auditing rooms always being cleaned up and mopped up and deodorized, because blood is odorous. And it just sounds to me to be too much work. Too much work. To take the scientific attitude, that would limit it all by itself. But you have other tools. It was interesting to me once, somebody operating in Washington was trying to get a chronic alcoholic who had just, very raw meat, had just been grabbed in, you see, was trying to put him in some kind of session with help. And finally, he was actually able to get a help factor established with that alcoholic. How's the effect? Yes, the alcoholic could actually help the auditor. They could actually help the auditor. They could go get a bottle and a couple of dames and go get drunk. But I was quite fascinated, you see, at the level that help entered. But up to that time, it took some 3 hours. And up to that time, up to that moment of figuring it out and getting on to the help level, of course, no, you couldn't help me. What do you mean? You'd just betray me anyway, and that sort of thing. Fellow had been psychologized in a prison at one time or another, and it just stuck with him ever since. But it took 3 hours, but he managed to break through and get something like a help factor established on a conversational medium. Now, I don't say that the E-meter would be inoperative on this person. I would say that you would be able to pull with holes off of a person like that with an E-meter, providing you knew the questions to ask. You would make an E-meter react on this person if you hit him on the exact buttons of with hold and so forth. It would be operative, but not for assessment. Remember, there's no charge on assessment. There's no charge on this. He's not trying to withhold anything from you violently. He's not trying to give you anything violently. He just isn't helping. He doesn't need. That's a different view. So we take security checking. We find that the only place the meter has a hole in it is the ARC brake, and we could handle that on the basis of just looking at the person, finding out if he had any willingness to talk to us at all, and somehow or another repair that, even though we only used Fernando's methods of finally working on the fellow, and finally the best answer we might get out of the person is, yes, well, you could help me and I could help you. You see, I could get a bottle and we could get a couple of girls. And I mean, even if it was this low order of help, you would have broken through. And after that, you'd find that there'd be some operative factor involved in your e-metering. As far as rudiments are concerned, now you could get the rest of your rudiments in and that sort of thing. In other words, you'd be on your way. But that isn't good enough for assessment. You see, a security check can be effective on people that an assessment isn't effective on. That's what you have to face up to. The person has to be in pretty doggone good communication with the auditor to get an accurate, rapid assessment. Or the auditor has to have such fantastic altitude over the person that anything registers. Now, given that altitude, of course, even the person had a, quote, ARC break, you'd get a registry and you'd get an assessment. You see? Altitude. But let's take two students. They haven't got any altitude. They got the altitude of one that's been studying longer than the other. But it's not very much altitude. And they get snorty with one another and teach each other classes in sessions, and all sorts of odd things go on. But it's not altitude. And one of the bug factors emerges here, and we suddenly see this thing with great clarity. I put you on an E-meter. I ask you what your goal and terminal are and so forth, and I get your goal and terminal. I wrap it up, put it, write it down and so forth. Well, it's done from a basis of altitude, and I turn around now, I'd be really somebody to turn around and say to you, you see, I can do it in an hour and a half. What is the matter with you that you can't get the parts of 3D? PC registers all out of the meter. What's the matter with you? Well, you can hold it up to some degree. I can say, well, you can do better than you're doing. But you're not operating on that particular PC from a basis of altitude. You're going to be fascinated when you get back, having been here, auditing a PC someplace, who is a Scientologist, and all of a sudden you're going to see his meter bang all over the place, and your friend, who has been auditing him for some time, can't get any assessment on him. See, you've been to St. Hill, you've got altitude. And you ask him, all right, now give me the component parts of your opposition terminal, rapidly, rapidly, rap, babbity, 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 and he tells you all, and you bleed him down, you say any more, well, I guess there's three, four, and here they are, and that's it, and so forth, and you go back, go, and you read down the list, and you go, ba 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 ba, bang, there it is, well, that's fine, all right, we got your op term, all right, now let's get the op going. You, of course, you're liable to turn around and say, well, what is the matter with you, to your friend, you know? You've been working for 62 and a half hours on this person, and you haven't even got his goal. What's the matter with you? Well, you can say rudiments are out, but when you say rudiments are out, you must always add for whom. See, rudiments are out, but rudiments are out for this person and not out for that person. You got the notion? Yes. From a standpoint of, is a person assessable? All right, you check over the rudiments, and you find the rudiments are in for this person, but this person can't assess. Well, it just means the meter isn't registering for that person, that's all. Now we take another person, we ask them if the rudiments are in, and no, we find the rudiments out. What do we mean by that? Rudiments out means the meter was registering for this other person. This is not spooky. Once you get this down, it's a basis of altitude. What command value do you have over the person? Well, now, this fellow that's been out in this lonely watchtower on the other end of the Black Nebula has never been a member of anything since the year zero. Is being very careful never to be a member of anything and receive any orders from anybody because of anything. And he just simply sits down, and it wouldn't matter whether you had altitude or smeltitude, it just wouldn't matter. His meter would not register. He is not part of the human race. Now, that's the person I'm talking about. You get these other variables, yes. You have altitude with one PC where you don't have it with another. You can always improve that altitude. You can always put it into the run. But basically, the first barrier to be crossed is the barrier of getting him somewhat into communication with the human race. Now, some people can do that faster than others, but it is a factor that has to be crossed, and that factor does amount to this. It amounts totally to whether or not the individual is totally armored against everything you're trying to do to the individual. This is important. Speed of assessment is totally dependent on an individual's willingness to communicate to the person who's assessing him. All right, now let's take on the one hand a student that doesn't know one end of the E-meter from the other. He's been running pretended no with an E-meter for some years, maybe. But frankly, he can't make that E-meter talk. Worth a nickel, didn't know too much about it. All of a sudden, he's pitched into a security check under the eyes of people that really know how to security check, and they find him leaving stuff missed and, you know, and doing this and that. He never knew they were missed before. He never knew there was anything there to be found. Well, we pressure him up, and goodness gracious, he finds out this E-meter can really sit there and sing. It really does operate. It really does function. It really does find with holes. It finds out rudiments. It does that sort of thing. Well, it's something like teaching him to find huge white boulders in a black field. Okay? That's great. You know, he finally gets cocky and all that. He can really find these with holes now and so forth. He's got good confidence. Now we send him out to find these little tiny black pebbles in the black field. That's a 3D assessment. Well, it requires a terrific command because in the first place, he's got to have good confidence that he can operate his meter and his tools. If he does not have that confidence, the PC can smell it. The fellow sits down there and he says, well, now, let's see. All right, it's all right with you if we begin this session now. You know, he sounds confident. He sounds right there. See? Of course, what's the other fellow do? The other fellow just assigns his altitude at that point. He gives him altitude rating minus zero. That's the end of the assessment. It ceases right there. Why? Well, he's demonstrated that he isn't anybody to have any command value over the other person, that's all. So if we just took somebody and gave him a 1 hour review of how to run an E-meter, and then set him to assessing a 3D, he would find out that he didn't get any place, that's all. And he would go on not making it for 75 hours, at least. You know, he'd just go on stumbling and fumbling, because he's looking for these black pebbles in the black field, and it's really a lost city he's on the route of. Well, that's not very economical, then, is it? Not economical in terms of time. You've had a person sitting there as a PC with an auditor who is inexpert. The PC is not in communication with the human race, and the auditor is not in communication with the E-meter. And the end of this is a debacle of 75 hours of accumulated ARC breaks that we can do very well without during the assessment, right? Well, this is what I have learned. That it is much more economical to security check a person for 75 hours and put them in communication with the human race than it is to assess them for 75 hours using the auditor as a constant. Let's say this auditor is no better or no worse during the 75 or the next 75 and so on. He's a constant. Well, let's take the PC. Well, it'd be better if the PC were given security checks and problems intensives, ARC processes, and rudiments in twice a session for 75 hours than to assess the PC for 75 hours. Because you're going to wind up with no gain. The PC is just going to feel like he's blowing his brains out at the end of the 75 hours, but if you give him that much security check and so forth, fairly well done, why, he'll come up at the other end and he'll be feeling better. He will have some confidence. He will have benefited. All right, let's take the next stage. This person's got to be put in that kind of shape before he can run 3D levels anyway, so if you did, by some necromancy, manage to reach into the electrosis of his brain and discover these various items in that 75 hours, you'd still have to run all the security checks, the problems, intensives, everything else, and get the rudiments in endlessly and square him all up before he could run the 3D levels. Otherwise, it'd be too rough on him. So what's the profit here? Well, if this person wants to waste 75 hours, all right, I can just see it now. The person comes into the central organization, says, I want to be cleared. All right, that's a very fine goal. All right, that's well. I don't want to be cleared. All right, and I want to be assessed now. And I can just see a very, very obliging registrar saying, well, all right, we'll put one of our best assessing auditors on you at once. And see the first week blow up in smoke, the second week blow up in smoke, and the third week blow up in a roaring bonfire. Yet everybody was being very obliging. See, they're being terribly obliging. They said, well, if the person wants to be assessed on this new clearing process, well, naturally, we should assess them. Oh, they've taken a mere responsibility. Their responsibility is very low. Because the person's in no shape to assess. No, well, you're going to have some kind of an assessment running like this. You're going to have 3/4 of each session spent on the rudiments using non-strong processes, which might very well better be good, heavy, beefy rudiments-in type processes, you know? Security checks, general overt withhold, problems intensives. Let's sort this person out from one end to the other. Let's get this person talking and squared away and so forth. And if you really know how to security check, you can do it. Now, we do that for 75 hours. Person says, I want to be assessed on 3D. And the registrar says, all right, we would be happy to assess you on 3D, and you had better get going at once on the preparatory steps. That's the proper answer. What preparatory steps? Well, the preparatory steps to being assessed on 3D, of course. All right. What do they consist of? Well, they consist of getting you sufficiently in communication so that we don't have to waste your money and auditing time fumbling with the thing while we're assessing it. Actually, you have to put up some kind of an argument on the basis of it's more economical for the person to be in some kind of condition before they're assessed than to just start endlessly assessing and wind up with an equivocal or an upsetting or an incorrect assessment or no assessment at all, or, you see, that's the kind of thing that you're bargaining against with this sort of thing. Well, that's going to take a lot of subjective reality on a lot of people's parts before they finally got that in, because there'll be lots of people who will come in and say, please, I want to get some auditing from you, whether you're a field auditor or a registrar or HCC, DP, anything, and he's going to say this, and you're going to say very obligingly, all right, I'll assess you. Now, it's very uneconomical. Maybe with your altitude, you'll get away with it. Very often, you'll get away with it. You'll get away with it often enough to disabuse you of the datum. But you're reckoning without this factor called altitude. You've got altitude. And so the reckoning of the datum is But every now and then, you will get a full assessment. You'll get it very rapidly and so forth. One of the things that will also upset your calculation of this is the fact that the person you're assessing has probably been audited a great deal. And they're probably in some sort of shape. But remember those points. Remember those points. I'd say if you couldn't get somebody's goal in a matter of a couple of sessions, you're wasting your time. I'd say from there on out, you're wasting your time. I mean, just give you some kind of a little yardstick, not a very accurate yardstick, but some kind of a little yardstick to go on. I wouldn't even make that kind of a test. I'd learn to add it up in the first place. And I'd also learn to have somebody around that could take that kind of work off of your back if you're the only one in anywhere in any area that can do any 3D assessment. You don't want to be running security checks. You want to be able to teach people to run security checks, and you do assessments. I mean, that's easy. Then that works out, and you get a lot of people cleared. That's a practical solution. Now, as far as auditor training is concerned, an auditor who has not got the familiarity and experience of doing a security check, which has got no business sitting on the working end of an e-meter, that's all. He's just got no business doing it because he's going to miss the falls. He's going to be looking up when he should be looking down. You know, he doesn't know which end of the list to write on. It isn't the mechanics of the thing. It's just the fact that he just isn't looking, that's all. He doesn't know what ought to read like which. And this is a waste of time. Give him assessing, because it's liable to break his heart. Because you can't read assessment reads like you can read security check reads. Well, you get some fellow, you ask him, have you ever killed anyone? And you find out he murdered somebody or something like this, or thought murdering somebody, and needle falls off the pin. Little lights light up. Instrumentation plate lights up. Little bell rings someplace. Arm comes out the side of the e-meter and taps the auditor on the head and say, hey, look, bud, and points a long metallic finger. It's almost that wide and big a reaction, don't you think? Can't miss it. But on assessment, it might not be that much of a reaction. Probably never is that much of a reaction. So you're training an auditor in the direction of loses. Now, the longer you assess a PC, the unhappier a PC is liable to get if the assessment is being done badly. The longer you assess a PC, the harder the item is to get. That is a stable datum on which you can absolutely count. The longer it takes, the harder it is to do. So you don't want an auditor going in with a wide, wild fumble. No, let's let him get the use of his tools, and then he'll get his assessment faster. Let's say we have 100 hours to expend. I would tell you right off the bat, spend 75 of them in setting the person up, and 25 of them assessing and getting his 3D straight. Your 100 hours will wind up with a person with all his items in condition to be run on 3D levels. That's a nice win. All right, given 100 hours to expend, person comes in, we do no preparatory work, we use all the assessment sessions to try to keep his rudiments in, and I'll show you the 100-hour mark with no items, an ARC broke PC, and no setup of any kind. And even if you'd found them in those 100 hours, the PC not in any kind of shape to run 3D levels. You see, what's economical? That's the thing. What's practical? What's the effective thing to do? And ordinarily speaking, the effective thing to do would be to run the person over the jumps on all standard security checks, run them through a problems intensive, do what you could to knock out some of their hidden standards and upsets and worries and so forth and get them in some sort of shape so that they could be audited and they'll feel fine. That's done more for them than anything else has done. So it's good, effective processing. So that person feels fine now. And then you set them down on the cans and you say, all right, give me your goals list. And it goes off, brr, bow, and you get that, bang, and you get your next item, boom, and you get your next item, bang, you get your next item, bang, you get your next item, bang, you got your 3D, find your level and run it. Now, that's the way it goes. Now, the only reason an auditor starts worrying about an assessment on 3D is he himself is assessing somebody who doesn't have very good reads. And he has not recognized the fantastically mechanical nature of an assessment. The only thing in a 3D that requires any judgment of any kind whatsoever is how do the parts fit right. After you've got all of the data, the judgment is required now at the point of who is what. In this game of the cowboy in the white hat and the cowboy in the black hat, who is the cowboy in the white hat? Right? You'll get some fantastic oddball curves thrown at you there. You'll find the op terminal is the PC's terminal, but the goal that you found is the PC's goal, you see. But the PC's terminal that you found is unfindable because his terminal is already in your 3D as the op terminal. You just strike this kind of thing. Where do the levels fit? What are you finding? What have you got? This requires judgment. There are various mechanical tests that can be used, but none positive enough to overthrow judgment. We have black grasshopper as the opposition terminal. Black grasshopper. And as the PC's terminal, we have chorus girl. Doesn't make sense to me. And if you run it, you won't make sense in the running either. PC will say, oh yes, I can see how a black grasshopper would frighten a chorus girl. You'll get three answers on a 3D problem. Type command run, that's all. He's out. He's finished. Now that requires judgment. The rest of it is a totally mechanical operation. Start realizing that point. And then what I'm telling you about preparatory steps and so forth will make a great deal of sense to you. It's mechanical. It is the mechanics of getting your rudiments in, getting somebody into session, willing to talk to you about their difficulties and so forth. All right, now there's a little bit of art connected with that, but from there on, bang, you get, give me the goals list, you get the goals list, you bleed it down for antisocial goals, withheld goals, secret goals, anything else, you add it to the bottom of the list. You get your rudiments in, you get them in very, very, very carefully, you square it all around. Remember, your PC has got to be in some kind of shape that you can get the rudiments in on this PC. Remember, that's a necessary adjunct to all of this. You sit down there, you go bark, bark, bark. Thank you, that's in. Bark, 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 thank you, that's out. Bark, 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 thank you, that's in. Bark, 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 thank you, that's out. Pow, 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 pow. Your reading of the meter, your writing it was totally mechanical. You learned how to do that in the third grade. The reading of the meter should be of no concern to you whatsoever. You should just know that cold. When that meter talks, it talks. That's it. You know what message it tells you. And it's just goal. I mean, the list is either in or the list is out. The goal is there or it isn't there. That's all there is to it. And it's there to the degree the rudiments stay in. You should realize when the rudiments go out and your whole list all of a sudden goes, no. Take a goal that was just alive. Go back and read it again. Bark, bark, bark. Thank you. That's ow. Ow, 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 ow. That thing was just alive as paint just a few minutes ago. You came right down the line, reading right down the line past that goal, and it went clang as you went by it, and you marked it as in, and you went down to the next one, and it marked something around it. And something tells you that something has gone to hell in a balloon around here someplace, or the PC is acting up, or the PC is talking in the wrong places, or laughing at the wrong comma marks, or something of the sort, or has just kicked the back of the E-meter with his foot. But just go back and read a goal that you've just gone over, and you know it's still got kick in it. Just read it once. Stop the run, get your rudiments in. See, you've got it proven that up there they were in, and now they somehow aren't. Get them in, squared around, and keep your list going. In other words, you go down to the end of the line. If your rudiments are in, if you keep your rudiments in, you wind up at the other end with the list you got in the first place, with the PC's item on it. I mean, that's all there is to it. It is so mechanical. It's It's more mechanical than paint and wall. Paint and wall, you had to make some judgment on the basis of the color of the paint. There's no judgment of color involved with that. You just wrote down everything the PC said, and you bled down till the meter was null on any more, and you've got the complete list, and then you get the rudiments in real good, and you know they're in, and then you go down the list, and you null it out, and you'll be left there sitting there with the item. All right. That's just a straight mechanical action, and you do that with item after item, and you'll get good enough sometime so that you consider putting a 3D together rather than mechanical too. And you get the op term. You get the op term from the PC's terminal. And you get the modifier on the basis of getting an opposition goal to the op term, or something of that sort. You see, you can do it backwards. You can take the opposition goal and you say, well, what would really happen to this person if he didn't goal, see? Opposition terminal's goal. Well, he'd be dragged down and wiped out, all right? That's the modifier. You can learn to do these things backwards and ask for different items, but that has nothing to do with the mechanical action, writing down the list of items, assessing the list out. The reason you think it's complicated at this particular time is you're going over cases that have been assessed and on whom the assessment has been changed. We've had some cases here that were running routine 3 very nicely and very sweetly, and everything was going along beautifully, and all of a sudden, Ron, don't dare have an overt on him because I have to run it in the sec check session. But anyway, we had to get the rest of the 3D items, and it stopped everything. Oh, well, all right. So it's been a change in middle stream. You're going to find equally there'll be an upset with the PC. He's been sitting there saying, well, he's a teddy bear. He's being all smug on the basis of being a teddy bear. Always loved teddy bears, he did. You have to gently break the news to him at the other end of the line that he's a snipe. That's not so good. The PC says, I am. And you know, sometimes it stays as an ARC break. It's interesting. But then it'd mean that you're giving him the 3D, and straightening up the 3D has caused rudiments to go out. Well, you have to get them in again, and you've got the weapons with which to do this. All you have to do is get the invalidations on the thing. Now, worse than that, you've had cases that have been assessed slowly. That doesn't mean that all the cases in the world that ever get assessed will always be assessed rapidly, so this is something that applies very broadly. But you've assessed some cases slowly, you knucklehead. I mean, that's a real knuckleheaded thing to do. You know, sit there fumbling with the meters and all and so forth and saying, all right, now let's see. See, the instructor say I had to look at the meter. No, I look at the meter while I read the goal and run TR0. No, that's not the right order. You know, and you've assessed slowly. That's all. You've taken this list, which is a very simple list. All you had to do was look at the list, look at the meter while you read the item. Pang, pang. You didn't do that. You says, to pick gooseberries. I'm sorry, I must have missed the instant read. To pick gooseberries. You get a fall, of course. ARC break. So you write down, that goal is in. It's just a totally inaccurate job of assessment, don't you see? I mean, all the parts are all fit and it's all being done clumsy. You're sort of trying to fix a watch with mittens on. And you've done a slow assessment. You've had ARC breaks. You've patched these things up. Of course, the assessment drags out. It's an hour's worth of assessing. And it's dragged out now to 3 hours, to 3 sessions, to 3 weeks, same list. But all this 3 weeks you've been reading for the op terminal. And the PC gets to resemble hardly a PC, but he looks more like a blank wall, you know? He's gone now back as far as anybody could possibly go. He's walking around like this, you know, all the time. He chant an op terminal or anything on his chain of op terminals to the PC, and he'll actually practically get blown away. You have to get in and out and get that one fast. If you don't get the op terminal in the first couple of hours, you really ought to get another item that's on the PC side. Get the modifier. That's at least blowing the other way. See, this is just good sense. And try for the op terminal again. We miss on the op terminal some reason or other. We'll get the PC's terminal because now we got the G plus N. Get it blowing the other way again. Now that we're just gathering data that's on the PC's side, and we finally wind up with inevitably the other side of it will fall into our laps. And sometimes these things are all backwards, you see. The PC has given you the opposition goal, and he himself has given you the modifier of the opposition goal is his own goal. And it's all split up, and the things all read differently and backwards. And they all get a read, but where do they belong? You're always left with a 3D with a jigsaw puzzle on your hands. That's where your judgment comes in. But it isn't judgment that comes up to the point of assessment. That is not judgment. It is a mechanical action based on good sense of the factors I have just enumerated to you. Your auditor, with experience in security checking and some idea of assessment and getting things in and so forth, with experience on the thing, familiarity with the meter, he does the job rapidly enough that, there's anything to it, because it becomes a mechanical job. Now, given a PC who has some of the basic elements flat on him that puts him back to at least the outer ghost perimeter of the human race, he's got one toe inside the perimeter of the human race by means of sec checks and all that sort of thing. All right, now that PC becomes accessible. All right, given that, and given an auditor who is rapid and accurate in doing it and actually knows how to read a meter and so forth, an assessment just bang, just like that. Now that is what you should be trying to attain. But auditors who worry about assessments remind me of a mechanic who is walking around and around a car wondering what is wrong with it without ever opening up the hood. Never lifts the bonnet. Okay. Worrying about a PC. You don't worry about a PC. Hell, man. That's just an open and shut proposition. The PC is either in shape to be assessed or is not. Well, that's told at once as to whether or not your PC is responsive on the meter. All right. The assessment is done by simply listing the items and nulling them out. That's all. That's totally mechanical. And if you can get up to a point where you look on this as a totally mechanical action, you all of a sudden will heave a long sigh of relief, and you won't care who you assess or how many. But somebody will sit down in the auditing chair, and you say, all right, do you have any ARC break? Do you have any withhold? Do you have present time problem? You get no reads of any kind. And finally, while you say, well, what's been your goal and some of your goals in life? I'll write those down now. And tone arm just sits there. Tone arm doesn't move. No tone arm motion on a goals listing? Oh, no, man. Let's not go assessing that list. What are you, crazy? Your meter's not responsive. You've sat there and assessed opposition terminal on some PC that didn't move off 2.3. You've gotten the whole list with the PC just sitting there at 2.3 on the tone arm. No tone arm motion. How do you suppose there's ever going to be any needle motion on the list? There's no tone arm motion on the list. He gives you all of these things that he's been fighting all down through the trillennia, and he's not going to get any tone arm motion? Oh, hell, give that guy an application blank for the human race or for the auditing session. There's something wrong here. I mean wrong, man. That's not faintly out. It's a non-assessable condition. He's staring at it right in the face. Non-assessable. That will require security checks, will require general OW, will require ARC brake process, will require some kind of a problems intensive. Something you wouldn't mind forgetting, run for several hours. All of these things, you see, and then all of a sudden the fellow can remember this lifetime somewhat. You're not asking him, putting him in very good shape. We've got a PC down the line here right now. I could probably assess, but not here in this unit. I could probably assess this PC, but boy, just be from a basis of altitude and breathing down the PC's throat and almost energizing the PC's reactive bank myself. Because this PC can remember nothing. Yesterday fades away. It's gone. It's the automatic solution. Remember nothing. This PC would give you a list, and it wouldn't know what they're giving you a list of, for, what, or why. Well, it's all right. You could do an assessment of some kind. You know. You'd probably find a forgetful person. It's probably all explained when you get to the terminal. Let me point out something to you. This person can't remember long enough to remember they're in session. They can't even sit still. They're in bad shape. And you've forgotten how bad shape Homo sap is in. You deal to a large degree with Scientologists, and you audit people who have been in PEs, and people who've had a little co-audit, and people who've had a little patch-up auditing here and there, and assist here and there. You don't see the degree that they've been graduated up. Not until you get this garage mechanic that would walk around the car and wonder and worry about what was wrong with it and never lift the hood to find out. Never even sit under the driver's seat and try to push the starter button, you know? You just walk around the car and worry, something like that. Well, you get this guy and you sit him down in the chair and you say, pick up the cans, and he says, all right, and he does, and you start assessing a 3D. Well, he'll be interested. You can run his goals. Yeah, funny part of it is you could get away with a list of goals. He'd probably give you a list. He's not interested in anything as much as he is. But when you'd finish the list of goals, then he would want to know something or other or something, and he would have, and you suddenly realize that this person didn't have the faintest idea why they were there, or what they were doing, or what you were doing, or what you were trying to do, or how this had anything to do with their life, or anything. And this person may be sitting there with some screaming present time problem of some kind or another. You wouldn't know. You know, just some howling problem of some kind. Like, well, he hopes you will tell him when the session is over. Because, you see, if you didn't tell him when the session was over and tell him to go home, why, anything might happen. He might forget where he was and so forth. And he comes into session. He isn't feeling very well. And you don't cover it very thoroughly. He hasn't had a present time problem. You don't get any reaction on the thing. He doesn't even know what a present time problem is. But you say, well, what has happened in the last day that has been worrying or upsetting to you? And if you ask him that question for 30 minutes with variation, he would tell you that he was very worried because all morning he had been walking around his room believing fully that he was about to go insane. Not a minor thing he was up to, you know. But after a half an hour of questioning, you finally get this fact out. Now you find out he does this every morning or something like that. Why don't you just say, well, I get the idea you can reach but can't reach, get the idea you can withdraw but can't withdraw, and he does the glee of insanity or something, you do something with him, you know? And he says, hey, oh, that's better. And he comes back. Man, he tells you, that's all right. I only woke up at 6 this morning and I only worried about going insane for just about a half an hour. That was pretty good. Pretty good. It's a lot better. But the guy's whole life is a present time problem. He never sees a wall. He sees a facsimile of walls. You get the idea? I mean, that's the kind of people you're liable to be dealing with. I don't care if they're holding down positions as premier of the land. position has nothing to do with it. It's quite the reverse. It's when you start getting them going up in position, they're liable to start going up the pole, too. No, you haven't any guarantee whatsoever that this fellow has enough balance to sit there and just sit there. See, that would be a high skill to him, to be able to sit there for an hour. See, basis of a high skill, you know. He doesn't know how he could do it. And all the time he's sitting there, he's worrying, will I be able to sit here for a few more minutes? I don't know whether I will be or not. Will I be able to sit here for a few more minutes? No, I don't know whether I will be or not. Am I willing to sit here for a few more minutes? You don't know what trouble these people have, man. There's hardly anybody out in the society these days and so forth. Well, take a bunch of college kids. You'd think they were in awfully good shape. Or take a bunch of children out of some earlier school. You'd say, well, they're in fairly good shape. You get down to pitch with these kids, and really, you take the half an hour to find out how it is. Wow. It'd be hard for one imagination to paint any part of the randomity that you would discover. These people are worried. These people have problems. These people are upset one way or the other. And if you haven't cracked any part of that perimeter at all, you're going to assess them? Oh, no, 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 you're not. Mm-mm. See, if a person's problem is, can he sit there for a half an hour or something like that, how can he tell you anything? It'd have to be a damn strong E-meter that would give you the reads that you were capable of arousing on this person on some subject or another. Yes, you could get him interested. Yes, you have all the tricks by which you could do all this. But wouldn't it be kinder to security check him and find out why he was so worried? Because the basis of his worries are all contained in security checks. If you want to find some reason somebody's worried about going mad, just find the people he's driven mad, that's all. I mean, it's quite simple. Mm-hmm. You got somebody who is just terribly worried about nervous indigestion and ulcers and that sort of thing. You find out that his father has nervous indigestion and ulcers, and he has nothing but OWs on his father to the word go. He's got them by the thousands. And you're going to cure up his nervous indigestion by just some passing the wand over him. Well, you're not going to cure it by getting off the overts on father, but you're certainly going to take his mind off of it. These things are all the subject of overts and withholds of one character or another. So the kindest thing to do about anything like that is take the weight off this life before you send him back 8 trillennia. How can a guy ever get back there? He doesn't dare leave present time, not with the pink elephant stepping on his foot all the time, which you never hear about. You see how all this fits together. A fellow who has constant and continual worries, who is nagged all the time in all directions, has to have them alleviated a little bit before he can get any place. Well, this tells you, all right, well, how about this fellow that's just so spun in on his terminal and his opposition terminal and his goal and all the rest of that, that he's just so spun in, the only thing he could possibly do would be to relieve these things. No, that isn't true. Because all of his overt acts are locks on his goal, and you're doing a job of unburdening when you're doing the security check. You're just unburdening the things that he's been into. Along about the 15th level, on the second rerun or the third rerun or something like this, this person will all of a sudden look at you very fixedly and say, that's why I drink water in the morning. So what's this about drinking water in the morning? Well, you remember several weeks ago I told you that I always woke up with this burning thirst and my throat all raw and so forth, and then we took that up and we did something about it. Well, actually, the truth of the matter was that this terminal I'm running here, a mermaid, you see, and the thing blows. Okay. Well, you won't get down to the heart of the thing, but you can always unburden things. Frankly, that is the anatomy. Unburdening is the anatomy of the goals problem mass operation that we're doing. Unburdening, we're taking the solutions off the top of the thing. It's very interesting. You can deal these solutions off the top of it, and of course it de-intensifies as a problem. Because these terminals and things are as much as a problem as they've been solved. The big trick, you see, is to solve it without solving it. And the only way you can solve it without solving it, because if you solved it again, you see, you'd bring it in on the person. Medicine and psychiatry have been solving these things for a long time, and it just dumps the person into it. So your solving, of course, has to be done without solving. And of course, how do you solve without solving? Well, you solve without solving by taking off the solutions. Well, and it leaves it unsolved. Well, that's where it should have been in the first place. The only mistake your PC ever made, who has a terminal of a water buck, of course, was obsessively solving problems about water bucks at the expense of tigers. How do you solve problems about water bucks? Well, you solve problems about water bucks because of tigers. And that's the problems you solve about the water buck and water buck problems, solve, 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 solve. Till you can actually work it out, as I told you several years ago, you can actually work it out so that the whole physical universe is just one cure after the other. And if you look at anything in the physical universe, it's there because it cured something. Well, what's the difference between cure and solve? That's the upshot of it. All right, the other factor that stands in your road and it stands there good and strong and looms up in front of you is your PC is not at all sure that anything can be solved. Any PC as he enters in at the lower rung of things is just a little bit hopeful, but he's not at all sure that anything could ever be solved. And he's sitting there in a total insecurity about his own case. What case? He's sitting worrying. He's saying to himself, Scientology work, the Scientology work, the Scientology work, the Scientology work, the Scientology work, couldn't possibly work, couldn't possibly work, couldn't possibly work. And you're saying, all right, give me another go. Well, spitting on trees. The Scientology work, the Scientology work, the Scientology work, the Scientology work. Yeah, a smart thing to do is make a citizen out of it. Yeah, well, you can always do that. You say, what are you having trouble with? What are you having the most trouble with now? You spend a half an hour trying to find out what he's having the most trouble with. All right. Well, who had that trouble? Who had that trouble now? This is most elementary problems intensity you give anybody. Who had that trouble now? Who do you know had trouble? Well, all right, spend another half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours getting him to remember his wife. And he finally said, oh, his wife had that trouble. Yes, that's right, his wife had that trouble. All right, well, that's fine. Now, what was the dirtiest trick you ever played on your wife? Well, I never clang, you know. I've never played any trick. No, what was that? Well, I've had some very unkind... Ah, you've had some unkind thoughts about you. Ha-ha, that's real good. Well, now, what have you done? Oh, well, I'm going to try to... except beat her. Just beat her. Oh, I remember one time I felt very bad. I beat her and she hit her head against the kitchen stove and it both burned her and bruised her. And, I feel different somehow. That's your inevitable conclusion. That magic is always available in your hands. It's always available. You can make it work from one corner if you don't make it work from another corner. You can always find something. So this guy's sitting there and he's saying, nothing works, nothing works, nothing works, nothing works. Well, Q&A with it, what the hell? Do you ever know anybody else that didn't think anything ever worked? Well, let's just assess it out until we finally find somebody for whom nothing ever worked. Anybody in your whole life that you know of is just totally apathetic all the time. Do you ever meet anybody like this? You ever run into anybody like this? Of course, that's his terminal, but we won't worry about that. Let's blame it on somebody else for the minute. Oh, well, yes, he said, by George, I'd forgotten all about her, but Miss Binge, yes, my first grade teacher. You know, I hadn't remembered her for years. You finally unbury this, you know, dig it up like an old bone. And he wrote an OW on Miss Binge. He's going to brighten up. Going to feel better. See? You can always count on whatever the PC's complaining about as having been present in another person and having been keyed in by the fact that he did OWs to the other person. And you can also always count on it that it's also on his own goals line. It's always his own terminal or the op term, see? That for sure in the final analysis is where it is. But you can always go on this little excursion and unburden the thing. sometimes you're lucky and get it at once, and sometimes you're unlucky and take quite a little while to get it. But you can do it. You can do it. You're in there with a security check program that's adequate. It's a piece of magic that is always available to you. You didn't handle that part of it, well, handle something else. But try to handle something for the PC. That's one of the first ways to get your meter to read. You handle something for the PC, your meter will read better. Check me out on it. You'll find out that's true. Person comes in and he isn't in anywhere in the perimeter of the human race. You know, we're not trying to make a clear out of this person before we assess him. We're just trying to get the person to sit in the chair unworriedly with some small amount of confidence that something will happen. That is all we're trying to get him to do. Well, it takes quite a bit of doing with some people to get them into that state of mind, but that's the state of mind you're heading for. They're going to be able to sit in the chair for the whole length of the session. They are fairly confident that something will happen before the session is over. You see, they have these points of view. That's all you're trying to do. You're not trying to make them well. This guy had his head cut off in World War II, and you're not trying to grow a new head for him. You're not trying to do anything stupendous like that. You're just trying to get him so that he's easy in his mind, sitting there. Has some confidence you maybe can do something. Well, you'll find out, the more you work with raw meat, you'll find out you'll get almost contemptuous of it someday. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. We were doing it in 1950, only we did it on a different route. We expected it to key out just by the PC remembering it. You could always find something the PC could remember that would key something out, oddly enough. PC's worried all the time about this throbbing pain in his head. You say, well, who had a throbbing pain in their head? All right, when was that? And so forth. We expected it to leave. Now you don't expect it to leave. The reason that skill folded up is because only about 20 or 30% of them ever lost the pain in their head. You got the idea? I mean, it was too small a percentage to play with. There was some other factor because it would key right in on them. I remember old Bert one time, I took something away from him with us, 1, 2, 3, and then asked him to remember it again, and he went straight into it like a head-on torpedo collision. That was at old 42 Aberdeen Road. And the next step to that, of course, would have been to run OW on whoever he had elected. See, and that would have finished it off and straightened it out. Not to run the engram of the occurrence, but to run OW on whoever he had elected. Whatever had been wrong with him, and he said, well, that was his Aunt Minnie or something like that, you see. And it didn't fly away. All you had to do was run Aunt Minnie on OW, see. You just run OW on Aunt Minnie. Because you can always run a person for a little while as a terminal. Not very long. Maybe he's opposition terminal. You never know before you've got a 3D what you're auditing. Whether you're auditing tigers, water bucks, willow wands, or what? You yourself may be sitting there as the opposition terminal to the PC. Don't be too surprised when you get a 3D done if that were the case. On the contrary, think of your auditing skills rather tremendous that you could get a 3D while you were the opposition terminal. See, you're a girl. The opposition terminal is a pretty girl. You actually were able to sit there. This PC was rather ARC breaky with you and so on. But you could actually sit there and get a 3D on this person. I mean, it means that you're pretty clever. You're going right into the teeth of the PC's worst aberrations. Every time you sat down in the chair, of course, you keyed the PC in. Auditing will work over the top of that. That does not make an impossible situation at all. As a matter of fact, it's a rather ordinary situation. So your job in handling a PC is to get the PC to sit down and have some confidence and read on a meter. And then it's the time to assess, well, how long does it take you to get him into this state of mind? Well, you have to be rather effective in getting him into this state of mind. It may take you up to 75 or more hours to get him into this state of mind, but it's all well spent because you're not going to get anything done until that state of mind exists. And certainly you're not going to get anything run until that state of mind exists. Don't be so impatient. What's the hurry? He's been crazy for the last 100 trillion. Sometimes, you know, it's more economical to take a break than to audit. Did you realize that? sometimes more economical. I've seen people auditing past 10 o'clock, for instance, that learned that to their sorrow. It would have been much more economical, because the following day they patched up the ARC break of having been audited 2.5 hours over their session and not been able to keep their appointment with their girl. It not only was totally wasted on the night before, but it was actually totally wasted the next day too, because the 2.5 hours he was being audited all the time up against the present time problem of having to meet their girl. And so next day you have to audit out the present time problem. Well, it would have been better just to have knocked it off at 10 o'clock. Then you wouldn't have had the 2.5 hours of ARC break followed by the 2.5 hours of cure of the ARC break. See, we gained nothing. In other words, we fell down a well. We climbed up our 2 feet and fell back 5. So that was no good. These are all adjudications on the subject of auditing. All right, now where an auditor training is concerned, definitely it is better to confront a PC in an assessment with an auditor who has a degree of confidence and expertness and knows what he's doing, because you're going to get the confidence the PC is going to multiply at once, isn't it? PC's confidence is going to go up, therefore you're going to get something like a 3D. All right, so it all works itself out for us, fortunately. Fortunately works itself out. It's just a matter of the PC is being run on security checks and the auditor's getting familiar with the meter at the same time. We trust that that auditor isn't going to miss too many security check questions. It's always economical when you're security checking on a training basis. In other words, we're security checking, and we're security checking for blood, but we're not too familiar with the meter. You get some student that you're training sometime, you're not too familiar with the meter, and so forth. Have him put into his end rudiments, have him end every security check session early. In other words, let a half an hour be the time for end rudiments. He's going to make that up with the PC's havingness or this other burning question which is added to the rudiments in addition to any other rudiments question, you see, is what security check question has been missed. You're going to make him keep that rudiment in. Well, that's the only safe thing to do, because he might have been looking out the window whistling Dixie when the security check question was falling off the pin. Or it might have been a withhold that he has. See? And very often people won't ask about their own withholds. Quite interesting. But if you say, what security check question has been missed, then the auditor, you see, doesn't know that he is asking for his own withhold. See, he knew it when he was asking the question, have you ever raped anyone? You see, he knew. He was asking for his own withhold. So he said, have you ever raped anyone? That's fine. Thank you very much. All right, we go to the next question now. Now he comes down to end of session in the end rudiments, and he says, now, has any security check been missed? He gets a reaction. So he says, well, what security check has been missed? Well, all right, well, what one has been missed? Big inspiration, you see. Knew what to ask right that minute. What security check question has been missed there? There seems to be one. Well, I don't like to tell you. Well, what security question has been missed here? Which one was it? Which one was it? Was it early on the list, late on the list? Well, all right, I'll tell you. It's, have you ever raped anyone? Oh, the auditor said, oh, well. All right, who'd you rape? See, you can catch this one two ways from the middle. Anyway, not being snide about it. That's the safe thing to do on all such things, and keeps your PCs from getting upset. You'd be amazed how upset somebody can get from having a security check question missed. And you can actually also be amazed how upset somebody gets if you never plunge for the withhold. You should realize the critical thought questions. By this time, you should realize that all critical thought questions are simply trap questions. The individual says, well, yes, I thought some critical thoughts, some critical thoughts, critical thoughts, critical thoughts. Or let him get off a few, so what? Won't hurt him. Now you say, now what did you do to blank? You. What did you do to blank? Oh, nothing. Clang. What was that? Ooh, oh, that's juicy. And all of a sudden, we get the source of all critical thoughts. People go around thinking critical thoughts have committed an overt. That's all there is to that. The overt is against the terminal or is associated with the terminal rather closely. Another thing, you'll find that following out instant reads only is always reliable on a security check. You never plow along on latent reads. The only example of this is when you tell the fellow to think over that area. If he tells you he can't remember and you see the needle bang suddenly, you can overdo this trick, by the way. You can say, well, now what did you think of just that moment? And the fellow will tell you what he thought of just that moment, and that'll be the withhold that you're looking for, and it'll even surprise him. This is not, however, a latent read. You're not reading a latent read. You're not asking him a question, getting a latent read. You've asked, do you have a withhold or some withhold question, and you get a reaction. Or you get an immediate reaction. Well, you get a latent read on the thing. Leave it alone. Don't bother with it. But the other way to use this thing is you just sort of set the fellow thinking. Now, you say that you have so and so on and so forth. The implication is, but you obviously we're falling on something here connected with this. Now, what do you suppose that was? And the fellow sits back and thinks for a moment or two. Of course, he actually runs off the track of your security checking. So you get the instant read played back. Basically what it does. You can always ask for the played back instant read because you asked for it to be played back. Jumping down people's throats all the time with, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. What's that, what's that, what's that? All on latent reads. Have you ever raped anybody? Clang. Well, that didn't... That was an instant read, so we avoid that one. All right, let's see. Let's no. All right, let's see. You ever raped anyone? Clong. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What is that? What was that one? What was that one? What was that? Which way did they go? You're going to find something about rape. And anything to do with the case and had nothing to do with the withhold. And boy, can you just run a security check out to the longest possible time that way. But setting a fellow thinking about something. All right, now you just think over this family. You're telling me you don't have any more withholds. I just think over this family about withholds and so forth. You sure you haven't done anything more to them? I'll just send it over for a moment, something like that. I don't care what word you use. Goes clang. You say, all right, now what did you think of just then? Oh, well, that. I had been meaning to tell you about that, but... And you got the withhold. I mean, there's other ways of attacking this thing. But the point I'm making is you've got an auditor with some confidence on security checking, confidence in handling the meter. He knows the tools of his trade. He can put up a good show, and he's rehearsed a bit on assessing and that sort of thing. He can go in on the PC and get an assessment done, providing the PC has been set up. So it works out rather optimally. If you don't set up the auditor so he's skilled enough to do an assessment, you won't get one. If you don't set up the PC... well enough so that the PC reads on the meter, you won't get an assessment, if that's all there is to it. Now, a valuable datum was turned in by somebody in the class, and that is the invalidation of a goal is liable to read like the goal. I appreciated that very much when that was turned in. You get the goal, and the terminal will get a certain read, tickety-tack, whatever the read is. The invalidation of it will also read tickety-tack. Interesting datum. If you're looking for an invalidation of somebody's goal or terminal, this I give you conditionally. I haven't checked it too closely, but it goes the same. You get the same read on the invalidation, apparently, as you get on the goal. In other words, the goal theta bopped 18th of an inch wide, why you possibly will get an invalidation on it that theta bops an 18th of an inch wide. And it's interesting to be able to differentiate this between that. You probably also get a fall and some other things, but... In addition, but this has been turned in as an observation of what goes on. So therefore, you could miss an invalidation of a goal because it would read like the goal when you're mentioning the goal. And you say, well, has anybody invalidated your goal? And you get a read which looks like the goal's read, and you think the person thought of his goal, and therefore it read. And that wasn't the case. He thought of an invalidation, and it read just like the goal, so that you can pursue such things down. You can always get invalidations off using various tricks and mechanisms of one kind or another. You can always straighten these things out, providing you're expert on an e-meter. But the time to be expert on an e-meter is during the assessment, not after you've goofed one. See? because it's unfortunately true that you were insufficiently expert to do a perfect assessment. The probability is you'd also be insufficiently expert to do a proper patch-up. See? So the time to do is an assessment is when you can do one. Now, therefore, I recommend to you very thoroughly in handling auditors and so on, in training auditors, that you don't let your better judgment get overswayed by their tremendous anxieties, that you keep a practical hand on the thing, and that you say on the one side, well, when an auditor can run a perfect class 2 examination, and he's perfect in his class 2, and he can run security checks, and he knows all of that very well, we'll start to teach him how to run goals. You know, how to get assessments on goals. That would be a smart thing to do. And on the other side of the thing, somebody comes charging up and somebody absolutely has to have the 3D items now because the world, you see, is going to end tomorrow morning. They've been like this 18 trillion years, but the world obviously, just by pure coincidence, is going to end tomorrow morning. They've got to have their 3D now. Well, there could be such circumstances. For instance, there could be some kind of a circumstance where a guy wouldn't have any time to get audited and wouldn't get audited for the next 18 years or something like that. Yeah, you might do something, and you'd be sorry if you did it, but there might be some reasonable arguments which you'd be sorry every one that you bought. Not to prepare a case for an assessment is the equivalent to just wasting auditing time by the barrel load. So, on the one side, prepare an auditor to assess up to the level of class 2, prepare him so that he's got all those skills perfect, and then teach him some assessing skills because you're now not teaching him basics. And on the other side, prepare the PC up to a point where he can be assessed. Between these two things, you're looking at a high old time ahead. If you neglect those two items, you're looking for mud up to your neck. That's going to be rough. It'll be rough all the way. First action I would take in going back into an area, if I were one of you going back into an area, would get somebody by the scruff of the neck and not tell them everything you had learned at St. Hill in the first morning. Get them by the scruff of the neck, and I would say, you rhymes with two, and therefore you are going to be a class 2 auditor, and you're overdue as one. Because it would be very much to your benefit to have some people around that could do all the preliminary work. And then you could run a lot of PCs and your skill would really count. Okay? And of course it works out for them too. If they're doing a perfect job as class 2, well, you've got some confidence in them bringing them along and teaching them to assess and so forth. So everybody wins. But this isn't really on the basis of everybody wins so much as far as I'm concerned at this moment, there is no other way to win. If I knew of a royal road to geometry, I would tell you. But there apparently is none. Okay, well, I talked to you about security checking, didn't I? And I talked to you about clearing, didn't I? Well, that's a good thing, because I expect some of these people that are being run. Now we got, it's coming up toward, it's moving up toward half the class on levels now. Half the class on levels, so it's getting in right in there toward that. It's past a third now. And at any moment, you will be saying, my God, what do I do now? And I just wanted to give you some confidence. I know what you should do then, so don't worry about it. What you should worry about right now is getting all the levels run that you could run on your PC to the best of your ability, straight on through. When you get a dozen or so of those levels run and good and flat and the tone arm stuck very high and everything gone to hell in a balloon, and so forth. I'll show you what you do then. It's really pretty easy. So we're going to make some clears here. I'm going to make them in rapid fire, short order. And basically, we're going to make some because you actually have been very patient and you have learned very well. And I'm actually where a great many of you are concerned and quite happy with the way you are doing. Quite happy. In a way with the others, why we won't mention that just now, because I'm in a benign frame of mind. Thank you.